Yo, what's up? Welcome into Stacking Dubs Trade Deadline Edition. I'm Chris Chin. It is Wednesday morning, just over 24 hours before the trade deadline. So depending on when you're watching this, things move quick. I'm sure a lot can and will change, but let's just kind of give a rundown on where things are with the Warriors, with the pursuit of Giannis, and just kind of give you updates on where it all stands. Right now, it seems as though this is a 2.5 horse race, that being between the Warriors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then the half horse being that the Bucks just wait until summer. Those seem to be the three options. Sounds like the Knicks have more or less kind of withdrawn from the weight race. Seems like the Heat have pivoted and realized that they cannot find enough draft capital to make things work for Giannis, so they are shifting their focus to Ja Morant, which leaves the Warriors' standing offer, which has just kind of been there, hasn't been accepted, obviously, or declined for the last, whatever it is, 10 days. And then we're going to talk about what Minnesota has aggressively been trying to do in their pursuit of Giannis. Warriors offer, which I'm sure you're aware of at this point, is Kuminga, Draymond Green, Pajemski, and then a whole bunch of picks, which we're going to assume are 4 first-round picks and a pick swap. That would be my guess. I don't see why it wouldn't be all of those picks, and I would assume that they're all unprotected, and that would just be for Giannis back. I don't believe there's any other pieces coming back. Oh, and his brother. But in terms of matching salary, does not seem to need any other players there. The caveat is that it sounds like the Bucks don't really want to take on Draymond Green, which, you know, it doesn't make sense for them to. And so that being said, we need to find a third team, if they haven't already, that's willing to trade for Draymond and give some more draft capital. You know, that is teams that are competitive, because Draymond Green is still a difference maker, still a top level defensive player, and a great veteran for potentially a young team. And the team I immediately look at is the Detroit Pistons, where Draymond Green is from Saginaw, Michigan. We all know that. Michigan State guy, a young team who is in first place in the East and should be making a push and needs some, you know, defensive bigs. Well, they don't need defensive bigs, but Draymond would be a great fit for their team and also kind of a facilitator on offense. So, you know, depending on how Detroit views Draymond, they may be willing to part with pieces or picks to make that happen. Can Draymond command a first round pick, even if it's a late first round pick? We don't know. But sounds like there is some interest around the league from multiple teams potentially. And this is just speculation from one of the NBA insiders. I can't even tell you who said it, but sounds like there is some interest for contenders for Draymond Green's services. And if that's the case, if you can pry a first round pick or some sort of a swap doesn't really work, but if you can find some sort of draft capital there, now you come back to Milwaukee, and that's even that much more enticing, because now you're potentially talking 4 or 5 first round picks and a pick swap. Let's talk about the Timberwolves, who I don't know that they've leapfrogged the Wolves, but people, it's basically their race to lose if they can put together enough ammunition here. So deal will be based on Jaden McDaniels. It sounds like they need to include Joan Behringer, who is their pick this year, 17th overall. We're going to kind of compare players to what the Warriors offer is in a second. And then the Wolves would have to include multiple first-round picks. They have to acquire picks, Naz Reid and Julius Randle, and they can shop those guys and try to find third and fourth teams that are willing to take those guys off their hands for, it sounds like they need at least 2 more first-round picks to make this feasible. Because their current pick situation, I did a deep dive on what they're allowed to trade. So technically, they can move their 2026 next year's pick, which they already have in a swap with the Jazz. And assuming that the Jazz are going to finish below the Wolves, sounds like the Wolves will end up keeping their pick which could be a late pick if they do well and make the playoffs, and they can trade the rights to that pick, and it would just be the worst, the lesser of their pick or the Jazz if the Jazz somehow shoot up the standings, which who knows? They just got Jaren Jackson Jr., so that pick's tradable. The problem for the Wolves is that they've already traded away their 2031 pick. And by the Stepien rule, you cannot be missing your first round picks in multiple and consecutive years. So if you don't have your 2031 pick, that means you can't trade your 2032 pick. It also means they can't trade their 2030 pick. So they don't, all three of those are out the window. And beyond that, we're past too many 7 league years. So the only other picks that they have available are their 2028 and 2029 picks. They can only trade one of those, right? Because you can't trade both because they're in consecutive years. So I believe the 2028 pick is a clean pick. The 2029 pick is a top five protected pick due to the Rudy Gobert trade. So if they traded the 29, then if it somehow landed in the top five, that becomes a second round pick. And if the Bucks traded for that pick, that would fall under the same rule. So they can't have a top five pick for the Bucks there. So anyway, so I would think that they would trade their 2026 and their 2028 picks, with the 2026 pick being not already known to not be a great pick since the Wolves are in playoff positioning. Okay, so all that's to say, they don't have any swaps available. All they have are two first round picks and McDaniels and Behringer currently. If they find a first round pick from Naz Reid or Julius Randle, which I doubt, now that's McDaniels and three first round picks. Does that beat the Warriors' offer? Is that what the Bucks want? Is it just McDaniels, Behringer, and three first round picks? Is that enough to beat Kuminga, Pajemski, four first round picks, including out in 2030 and 2032 post Steph, which are a little bit going to be better picks considering Anthony Edwards is going to be around at that point for the Wolves picks, and a pick swap in 2031, which could essentially just turn into a nice lottery pick or whatever that becomes. I think the Warriors offer is better. Yeah, the discussion is McDaniels versus Kuminga. We're going to call Behringer and Pajemski a wash at this point. Both, late lottery picks, call that a wash. I obviously think McDaniels is better than Kuminga, but I just want to just do a little comparison here. And I know the stats do not tell at all, and it's a very big difference, but on a per 36 minute basis, I took the last 3 years for Kuminga. Kuminga per 36 is averaging 22 points, 6.8 rebounds, 3.1 assists. McDaniels this season, which is his breakout season, by far better than his other seasons, seven per 36, 17 points, 5 rebounds. Remember, Kuminga was 6.8 rebounds, 5 rebounds for McDaniels, 3.2 assists, same as Kuminga. In McDaniels' age 23 season, which Kuminga is now, age 23 season, his per 36, 13 points, 3.8 rebounds, 1.7 assists. McDaniels is 25 currently. The difference is obviously McDaniels has played and actually fills those to full volume minutes. However, McDaniels, obviously second team all defense in his year 23 season, seen as an elite defensive wing, shoots 42% from three this season, only shot like 34, 35% last season, but clearly provides a bit of spacing. Shows the difference in value between a defensive player and a three and the 3-and-D skill set, excuse me, the defense and then just the spacing on offense and just kind of a rising profile. But all that being said, I mean, Kuminga is the better scorer. He is already a better scorer, just kind of on an efficiency basis and just in terms of raw scoring ability. Can Kuminga get there defensively? Probably nowhere near what Jaden McDaniels is or will be, but he has the tools to be a good defender. I mean, McDaniels, a steal and a block per game. I don't see Kuminga getting to a block per game, but he has the tools to do it, to at least get kind of approach 0.7, 0.8 blocks per game and give you some rim protection. That's kind of the missing piece, I think, for Kuminga, is just kind of that verticality on defense. And again, he's 23 years old. I mean, you're telling me in 2 years he can't become a plus defender? We've seen, and Minnesota's seen, what Kuminga could do in the playoffs against Anthony Edwards. He was pretty good defensively on him. So the potential's there. I say all that to say, McDaniels is a much better player than Kuminga, but what's the gap? What do the Bucks see the gap as? McDaniels is more of a sure bet and a rising player that will potentially become an all-star. Won't become a superstar. I can never see him being like a 24-point scorer in this league. Kuminga can. Kuminga has higher upside offensively. Defensively, he can maybe be a slightly plus defensive player. Maybe the gap's not as wide as we think. Maybe I'm just biased and I watch a ton of Kuminga highlights, and obviously, it's I think that he's a little bit better than shown. But maybe he's close enough to McDaniels. Maybe that gap isn't two first round picks of difference, which seems to be what the difference in this trade would be. So that's just kind of comparing those two. Other thoughts are where it stands with the Bucks and the Warriors offer. Is the Warriors offer right now seen as good enough? And if Minnesota can't get there, the Bucks are going to take the Warriors offer as it stands. Are the Bucks thinking the deal is not good enough and they're just shopping the Warriors offer and saying, hey, teams need to beat this in terms of capital, especially draft capital? If they can get there, then they'll do the Wolves deal. And if not, we're going to wait until summer. Very possibly. That's where things stand. And in about 24 hours or less, we're going to have clarity on that. Looking at pivots. So say the Bucks just say it's not happening, right? The pivot was. What we learn is the Warriors were looking at Jaren Jackson Jr. before the Jazz came out of nowhere and swooped in with three first round picks and more, much more. And that, I guess if I were the Warriors and I could have gotten Jaren Jackson Jr. for three picks, Kuminga and matching salaries like Buddy and Moody, yeah, I guess that would have been fine. I don't know. I would have been thrilled, but yeah, it would have been good. We would have had our stretch, a better stretch center, and then you have Draymond still with Jimmy coming back. Yeah, that's a good roster, but it doesn't address your issue on at the wing. But that would have been a decent pivot. Obviously, that's gone now. Pelicans sound like they're sitting. They're sitting with their core. They don't want to trade Herb Jones, and they don't want to trade Trey Murphy. So I think that's out the window at this point. Miami kind of maybe Wiggins available, but they want a first round pick. And I think that was in the case that they are still chasing Giannis. So I don't know if that's an option. But if you wanted to put together the Wig trade Kuminga and a pick for Wiggins, then trade Jimmy and a pick for Anthony Davis, that combination, we've kind of explored that. I don't mind that. And that kind of makes you competitive for now and maybe next year. And you're doing the whole Anthony Davis thing, which I hate, but it's a pivot. Doesn't sound like they want to trade Jimmy. Sounds like he's gotten assurances. I don't believe Anthony Davis is an option here, and that's okay. Is Kawhi Leonard an option? I mean, James Harden just wanted out, but are the Clippers doing some crazy stuff over there? I don't think so. They're hot. They're the hottest team in the NBA right now. They're not losing too much by. They still have Garland coming back now, so they're still very competitive. I don't see why they would trade Kawhi, but it's worth a call. Effectively, best way to think of things is as of tomorrow, the season either begins if we make this trade or a big trade and this season begins and you're making a push, or the season ends if you don't make a move, right? You don't make a significant move. Season effectively is over tomorrow, and you're looking towards next year. You're holding on to John the Kuminga, it sounds like. And it's not the worst thing in the world. It sucks, and it'd be really frustrating. I guess we're happy to know the Warriors are taking swings and making the calls, even though if they don't get anything done, it's because they didn't have enough for Giannis, and that's a whole nother discussion. But you sit on your team, you have all your picks, you get your 2033 pick now in play. I guess not really, but you can add that as a swap in future discussions for other players. If Giannis is still there, I mean, I don't see why the Bucks would want to do it then, but you have other stars that become available. And you just sit and you feature Jonathan Kuminga the rest of this year, and maybe he plays himself into some value and you can figure out what you want to do next year. So that's the worst case scenario at this point, which I guess it's just more patience and more speculation from us. All right. That's where we're at, and I'm sure I will be talking to you relatively soon. Until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.